All right. Agenda item 17.
Item number 17 is a resolution to consider amendment to the Water Quality Control Plan, our Central Coast Basin Plan, regarding on-site wastewater system implementation. And as Sorrel Marks is going to be making the presentation, is getting situated here, I'll just remind the board that we initially adopted basin plan amendments, and this board adopted basin plan amendments in 1983, which established basin plan criteria and recommendations, conditions regarding installation and use and maintenance of on-site systems. So it's been on the books a long time, and actually has proven to be fairly successful when we compare systems installed before versus systems installed after. Are you ready to go? Sorrel Marks.
I think I'm ready. Thank you. Okay, as Roger mentioned, this is primarily an update of the waiver for on-site systems that expired in 2004. Now, when we're talking about on-site systems, we're really talking about septic systems. There are some other types, but they typically include a tank that retains the solids and some form of distribution system, like a leach field. And then a good deal of the treatment actually occurs in the soil below the system. Now, the Water Code requires authorization for discharge, and that includes the discharge of waste from on-site systems. So that authorization can be in the form of waste discharge requirements or a waiver of waste discharge requirements. For many years, we've implemented a waiver of waste discharge requirements since 1983. However, that waiver expired due to state law in 2004. And we could issue individual waste discharge requirements or individual waivers, but that would be a cumbersome activity and expensive, not only for Water Board staff, but for applicants. So the current situation is not consistent with the Water Code requirements. Now, the basin plan includes criteria for on-site systems, and those are primarily siting, design, construction, maintenance, and management criteria. They're intended to make sure that on-site systems remain the low-tech, low-maintenance systems that they are and provide for low-cost and effective wastewater treatment, especially in rural areas. Many Water Board staff, and I'm guessing that many of the Water Board members yourselves have on-site systems. And they can, when properly sited, designed, and maintained, they can provide for long-term water quality protection in a very cost-effective manner. Typically, the basin plan criteria are implemented through local agency permits. Now, in 2008, your board updated the then 25-year-old basin plan criteria by adding some clarifying definitions, including requirements for management plans and a description of what should be in those management plans. At that time, additional treatment was required for systems that go into very fast percolating soils. And for systems that go on steep slopes, certified professionals were required to design those. Discharges were prohibited within 25-year floodplains. And if the disposal from an on-site system was going to go into fill soil, then that would need to be specifically designed as a disposal area. Brine disposal needs to meet the a management plan. Now, what was not required in 2008 is the retrofit of properly functioning systems. Now, when these criteria were updated, the waiver itself, due to some legal issues, was removed from consideration at that time. In 2009, your board adopted a resolution to renew the waiver that expired in 2004 to incorporate that waiver into the basin plan. That renewal calls for compliance with the basin plan criteria and includes guidance for implementing the management plans. We continue to believe that local agency oversight is the most effective way to regulate on-site systems, because the local agencies are better able to address community-specific conditions, not only the site conditions, but their community-specific programs. And most agencies are already implementing those oversight programs. The 2009 update of the waiver, it includes permit streamlining, which benefits the stakeholders by providing efficient compliance with state law. I'll get into very briefly in a few minutes the implementation of that waiver, but it will effectively minimize the time and the cost to applicants, and it will provide for long-term water quality protection. The purpose of this action today is to clarify the language that's in the basin plan, especially to update that waiver. Now, the 2008 and 2009 updates, we packaged those up, sent them to the State Board for their review and review of the Office of Administrative Law, and we received considerable comments from State Board staff to clarify the language. So that's really what we're about today, is clarifying that language to address State Board staff's comments. This will, as I've mentioned earlier, create a waiver for existing on-site systems. It doesn't require enrollment of the existing systems. It also includes a waiver for new systems that either meet the basin plan criteria as specified, or meet alternative criteria that's implemented in a local on-site management plan. So the revisions that we're proposing today, they're addressed in your staff report starting on page 4, but they include expanded definitions and background information that was originally in the staff report in 2009. That's moved into the basin plan for clarification of the justification for the waiver. Additional detail is added to the management plan sections. Requirements are consolidated from various sections for added clarity. Water Board approval of the on-site management plans is specified. And the sections are reorganized to bring the implementation, the waiver itself, into the beginning of the chapter for clarity. And some additional clarifying conditions and consistency in terminology is added. Now, again, the revisions that we're proposing today are to address recommendations from State Board staff so that we can ultimately resubmit this for State Board approval. We did circulate the documents for public comment, and we received quite a number of comment letters. They're all in your agenda package, but the comments seem to fall into these three categories. The first, a most common comment, was concern over the cost to implement the on-site management plans. And in one instance, the cost was compared to an on-site management plan that's recently been developed for a problematic area in Santa Barbara County. And in that specific instance, that area is a known problematic has already known problems, and the management plan addressed how to resolve those longstanding problems. That's in the Los Olivos area. Now, as I mentioned earlier, many of the activities for local on-site management plans are already being implemented by local agencies. So we don't expect there to be a huge amount of additional activities, new activities being started. We do encourage agencies to utilize information that's already available. Some of the comments were about monitoring, and there is already a considerable amount of monitoring information available that we would encourage agencies to tap all sources, including our own ambient monitoring data, to identify areas that could be suffering from problems associated with on-site systems. And implementing the on-site management plans are specifically designed as a preventative action so that the much greater cost of restoring areas that have been impacted by on-site systems can be avoided. And just to be clear, the on-site management plans are one of the key conditions of the waiver. So that's why a lot of the focus is on the on-site management plans. There were several comments about limitations for secondary units on 1-acre lots. And for many years, the minimum lot size specified in the basin plan for residential discharges to on-site systems has been 1 acre. But there is a clause in that requirement that says if the site is particularly favorable, then you could go down to 0.5 acre. So the question always came up, what exactly does particularly favorable mean? And that wasn't specifically defined in the basin plan. So in 2008, in the update, we clarified that language to say the 1 acre minimum unless a different lot size is implemented through a local on-site management plan. And then it will really be up to the local agencies to support an alternative lot size through their on-site management plans. There were several recommendations from various commenters for staff to work with local agencies on how to coming up with appropriate criteria. We have been doing that. That's where we started in 2008 before we brought the update of the criteria to you for your consideration. We met with the local governing jurisdictions throughout the region to get feedback from them on what's working, what's not working, what needs to be clarified. And that's really where we started. We also had some scoping workshops. We had the earlier water board meetings. We did set up a website information page at your recommendation to help people get more information and also have some links to other resources for information. And then we circulated these draft documents for comment. Now, just to briefly review the conditions of the waiver. In areas, the left column here, this will look familiar because this slide was presented in 2009 when we talked about this issue, but just for review, in areas that do not have on-site management plans, those seeking to build a new on-site system would submit an application, a report of waste discharge, to the water board. That has an application fee that is currently $560. The application would be reviewed for consistency with the basin plan criteria to make sure it is consistent with the requirements. And then, if appropriate, it would be enrolled under the waiver, and then the applicant would return to their local jurisdiction and proceed through their local permitting process. Now, in areas that do have on-site management plans and a memorandum of understanding with the Water Board for implementing those plans, that application for the new system is waived. The applicant would not need to submit an application to the Water Board. Therefore, there wouldn't be an application fee to the Water Board. They would need to demonstrate that their on-site system is consistent with their local agency requirements, and they would just proceed with their local agency permitting program. So in both scenarios here, there's a significant streamlining in permitting from going through the process of individual waste discharge requirements or an individual waiver. I know the numbers on this chart are very tiny, but I just wanted to give you a brief idea. This is a chart of the reduction in failing on-site systems in the San Lorenzo watershed in Santa Cruz County. This happens to be the only county in our region where they have been implementing an on-site management plan for many years. And as you can see just from this chart, there has been a significant reduction in the failures of on-site systems. This is about a 20-year period that this is covering, from 1986 when they began implementing their program.
Out of curiosity, what contributed to that decrease? Was it just proper maintenance and repair of systems?
Well, Santa Cruz County is implementing a whole variety of activities, including upgrades in certain areas and improved maintenance and broad area public education programs. It's quite a variety of activities. And this doesn't identify which is the biggest bang for the buck, but the overall program has resulted in these improvements.
That graph, as Sorrell said, this is the only area where we have an on-site management plan like this, and it's not just happenstance. It's because this was a severe area in terms of failure rates. So they have high failure rates to start with. You wouldn't expect to see this kind of improvement for every county area or city area that has septic systems, because hopefully the failure rates in other areas are not as high as they were historically with San Lorenzo.
Right. And I would like to mention, you know, as I said earlier, a lot of communities have implemented and continue to implement a lot of the key components of on-site management plans. You know, those would be identifying problematic areas and addressing those, whether it's addressing specific failing systems or requiring different types of design in those problematic areas. Whatever the issue is, many agencies are already addressing those sorts of problems. Now, we do have a considerable amount of work outstanding to actually get this waiver program effectively functioning. After update of this, or after your board approval today, we would need to consolidate this information with the 2008 and 2009 package, submit it to the State Board and Office of Administrative Law for their review and approval. We would continue working with local permitting agencies to develop the memoranda of understanding and to assist those agencies in development of the on-site management plans. So we do propose that there would be a lag time before we will be able to implement the permit streamlining, the waiver itself, and we're estimating that will take approximately a year.
Out of curiosity, when someone wants to install a new septic system on their property, are they paying a fee both to their county Environmental Health Services Department, if that's who manages the on-site disposal systems, as well as to the State Water Board?
No.
Okay. Well, so what was that fee for 560?
That's what would be in place if we don't have a waiver.
I see.
Correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes. For those currently that have come to us for individual waste discharge requirements or an individual waiver, those submit the fee with their application.
Okay.
Now, what I just handed out is a list of some corrections, and I'll go over them on the screen as well for the audience. But if the audience would like a paper copy, there's some over in the black file box over there under file 17. The first correction, I won't belabor that one. It's just an editorial correction on page 4. On page 8, the words "and waste discharge requirements" were inadvertently omitted. The waiver, that clause is to indicate that the waiver will be of report of waste discharge and waste discharge requirements. So we would like to include that in the language. On page 9, I think this is probably the most significant of the corrections, and that would be to item 5, the on-site management plans would be recommended in all areas. So we would move the 5 up to the recommended section and change the should or the shall to should. But just to clarify, the on-site management plans would still be required as a condition of the waiver. So in those areas where on-site management plans are not implemented, then the applicants for new systems would need to apply to the Water Board rather than directly to their local jurisdiction.
Mr. Hayashi, go ahead.
The on-site management plan will be is a plan that is by the local jurisdiction.
Correct.
It's not by the individual septic tank owner or.
Correct.
Okay. This is essentially the same thing we went over a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yes, in 2009. Was that? Yeah. 2009, it was included in the as a shall in all areas.
John, we went through this before, this item, and it's come back because the State Board had some comments that they wanted to address, so that's what is being done. Clarification.
And I mean, does that? So the way that this basin plan amendment is set up is that the regional board has the authority to, and people are required to obtain waste discharge requirements or a waiver if they discharge waste. So anybody with a septic system would need to obtain waste discharge requirements from the board or a waiver. So what this item does is waives waste discharge requirements for existing systems, and then would for new systems, if the system is in an area where the local agency has developed an on-site management plan and entered in an MOU, then those persons would be waived from the requirement to obtain waste discharge requirements. They would go straight to their local agency and obtain the local permit. if it's in an area, if it's a new system in an area where the local agency has not entered into an MOU or developed an on-site system, then that person would have to come straight to the board and obtain waste discharge requirements or a waiver from the board and pay the fee, the state water board fee of $560, and the local agency may require them to obtain a local permit, and they would have to then pay that fee and get the permit from the local agency. So in other words, for new systems where the county or the local agency hasn't developed the on-site management plan, a person would have to get two permits is basically how it would work. And with this action that that the staff is proposing, those individuals, you know, if local agencies develop the plan, they would only need to get one permit and go to one agency. So that's...
For instance, that's when it. You mean new, is that new?
Yes, new. So what this action essentially...
How about upgrades and replacement?
Okay, if it's an... Well, the staff can answer that with upgrades and
repairs.
Repair your leach lines.
That you would not need to get a
get a new permit from the water board to update your existing system, but you would need to, if to the extent it's feasible, upgrade it consistent with any new criteria.
The criteria just says that you need to update if you're adding a repair, you need to meet the criteria to the greatest extent practicable. That's the language that's been in there for the last 28 years, and that remains the same.
But you still need a permit from the local...
You wouldn't have to come to the...
From the local jurisdiction, you need a permit to do the... If you need to replace the leach line, you need to get a permit from that, from the local.
But not all counties require that.
Right, you wouldn't...
Yeah, well, this depends if they require it.
So under this action of the board, you would not, for the thing you're talking about, you would not come back to the board for a permit. You would just deal with your local agency, whether they require a permit or not. It's up to them. But that's what this proposal does.
Now, there's a couple more corrections. On page 10, item 2 is actually a redundant with a portion with one of the sentences in the item above it, item 1. So I'm proposing just to delete that entire item and, of course, renumber below it. And then below it, when you have the list of the components of the management plan, some additional wording I think will help people understand what these issues are. The adding... survey and evaluation of information regarding effectiveness of existing systems. Some people had interpreted survey and evaluation of, like, going out and inspecting each on-site system or something like that, and that's certainly not what we had in mind. You may recall that in 2009 we had a guidance document that is not actually requirements, it's just guidance, and it had some ideas about utilizing all of the available information rather than reinventing wheels to figure out what the effectiveness is of the on-site systems that are already in place and where you might have problematic areas. So this language should help clarify that. And then in the next bullet point, replacing the word monitoring with evaluation. Again, we weren't envisioning specifically installing a bunch of monitoring sites. We're envisioning using all resources that are available. So if there's monitoring information available, we encourage looking at all of those sources first before adding additional sites. So in conclusion, the revisions that we're talking about today are needed to clarify the language of the 2008 and 2009 amendments for State Board approval. The goal here is to update the expired waiver with a conditional waiver that will provide for long-term protection of water quality and public health from on-site systems and really make sure that the systems remain the effective, low-cost water quality treatment that they should be. So with that, I recommend the resolution R3-2011-0004 with the corrections that are outlined in that handout.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
The parcel size limitation, is it based on the assumption that all leach lines are horizontal? Does it take into consideration leach wells, which are vertical and therefore require less surface area for leaching?
When the language was developed in 1983, it took into account a variety of different disposal options, and it was really looking at the amount of soil to assimilate the waste and the underlying groundwater so that the distribution of the systems and the amount of waste could be adequately assimilated. But it didn't specifically limit to a type of disposal.
I mentioned that because depending on the soil type and the aquifer level, you know, vertical leach wells can be very effective because they have a much smaller footprint. You still have the same percolation that you would have with a horizontal system. And for example, where you have properties which are on steep slope, horizontal leach lines is problematic because obviously you have to keep it, you know, within the grading level. Whereas therefore, using vertical applications, you know, they're pretty successful in various counties. So I was just wondering in the background where these parcel size were considered, you know, if specific conditions of soil and design of a system, if that was taken into consideration.
I believe it looked at a very broad general, the amount of waste in the area rather than the specific type of this distribution into the soil. But the criteria do allow for seepage pits as well as standard leach lines.
Okay.
I just need to make a clarification about something that is in here. The document that you received that shows changes includes within it a section that discusses prohibitions. And I just want to make clear that that is included only because it changed the number of the section, but there is no proposal before you to adopt or renew any prohibitions. So it's on page 17, and it is not before you to make that other than to change the section number. So in any motion or whatever that you do, I want to make it clear that this action before you is not adoption or renewal of any prohibition area.
Okay. Any other board?
So that's page 17, section 7D3G.
Any other board questions at this time? We have about 10 or so speaker cards, and I understand it's going to take us probably 45 minutes to get through those cards and the presentation that we have from the city of Atascadero. So we're going to break for lunch, and we've got two more cards. So let's shoot to be back here at about 1 o'clock.
When we get to...
Do we have a closed session?
Yes,
and I wanted to make an announcement.
Go ahead.
The board will be meeting in closed session to discuss item 1, item... item 8 and item 16 of the closed session items.
What time will you read?
1 o'clock. Meeting, it's 1:05.